We're two friends who have very different music tastes, and we gave each other three albums that we thought the other person would like. Come along, wouldn't ya?
Can you tell by my walk? Can you hear it in my talk? I'm barely cool. I'm barely cool. Can't you see in my eyes? It should come as no surprise. I'm barely cool.
That's the part that's gonna. That's the part that's gonna go before.
That's good. That's funny.
Thanks.
That's really good.
We're trying to grab you for the retention view time, baby. Welcome back to the Barely Cool Podcast with your hosts. This is after.
Okay, we're after now. We're after. After the Barely Cool.
Yeah, they've heard that.
Okay.
With your host Judah Middle,
Ben Routley,
and we're here, and we've been wanting to do this for a bit. We did.
You got a lot of energy today.
I do.
Did I just say that?
I made a...
What'd you do? What'd you drink today?
I made a mocha.
Like a half hot chocolate, half...
half coffee.
In the morning?
Yeah.
What a weird thing to make in the morning.
Let me tell you what happened. I rolled up...
That's what like 13-year-olds drink who want to drink coffee but don't really love
it. Let me tell
taste.
You what happened, okay?
I gotta mix it with hot chocolate.
Let me tell you what happened, okay?
Making it an adult man in the morning, making a mocha.
Let me tell you
what the hell
what
is
happened.
Wrong with you.
I rolled up to the office. Now I grabbed.
You mean it at the office with witnesses?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So here's what happened. I got this giant mug, quite a spacious mug, and
at the office that you keep with you.
I have a multiple mugs at the office.
I
have an array and
an assortment even.
I grab my big mug and I take it over to the Keurig
instead of the medium or the little mug.
Yeah. I have normal size mugs. I have a few big mugs. This is my largest mug. And I grab it and I walk over to the Keurig. There's one in the office and there's a little rack of like all the pods. And I go, "Oh, that one's different." And I grab it, but I can't see it. And I look at it and I go, "Oh, it's hot chocolate." And there's a moment where I'm like, I'm either putting this back on the thing and grabbing something else, or I'm just popping it into the Keurig. And I go, "It's the last one. That one's for me." And I pop open the Keurig and I put it now.
Okay, well, the fact that it's a Keurig makes me feel a little bit better.
Yes. So that one, I hit it on max setting. I'm like, I'll just have hot chocolate. I don't need the coffee this morning. But my mug is so massive, the largest setting.
It only gets
setting,
like halfway in.
It only gets halfway. Mm. So then I go, well.
Throw some coffee in there, make a mocha.
So then I get rid of that pod.
That makes a little bit more sense.
Add a coffee pod. I hit the medium setting. It goes like this far away from the top. And I just enjoyed like. A bowl of soup worth of mocha. So yeah.
How big is this mug? Why do you have this massive gigantuan mug there?
It's big. It's Maddie and I painted them. They didn't have any more normal mugs. I wish they did. I'm not a fat mug guy. I like a tall mug.
I like this mug. This that mug right
classic
here.
Classic mug's good.
This is exactly all I need.
They didn't have that at the pottery painting spot we went to way back. And so I just went for a big value, good value mug. But yeah, I like
great value from Walmart. Great value mug. They make mugs.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I don't think that's the joke you're trying to make. I don't think that's landing the way you think it is. I think that's going right into the Hudson with Sully. Sully's not
you're
even
right.
piloting. You're taking that plane right.
You're right.
All right,
relax. You're right. You don't have to be mean about it.
Anyway, we are going to be. We did an album gauntlet, is what we called it. We did album gauntlet 2023 or something, and
but we gave albums that we didn't like.
We gave that we liked. We gave albums that we really liked that we thought would maybe be. Pushing the other person's boundaries.
Yeah, which
maybe.
I was very pushed by that.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Well.
I hated it.
Yeah, I was surprised by your ratings.
What?
No, I wasn't crazy.
How are you surprised?
Surprised?
You gave me like weirdo alternative albums.
I thought.
You gave me more alternative this time, but I actually was okay with it.
I thought you would find the microphones, the Glow Part 2, at least entertaining. I knew you weren't going to care for Giles Corey. And I was surprised that you gave the Latitude album as decent of a rating as you did. Mm. Then you gave me a Sheepdogs album.
Learn and Burn.
You gave me Queen Sheer Heart Attack.
Great album.
Which I never actually fully listened to. Great album. And then Led Zeppelin 3, I think?
It would have been Zeppelin 4 or 2. There's no way I gave you 3.
I know, it was White. It had the
I think it was 4.
Evermore or something like that.
Oh, The Battle of Evermore? I think that's 2.
Oh, okay.
Might be 4.
I don't remember. It was whichever one that one was, and I remember not looking forward to the Led Zeppelin album because of the popular Led Zeppelin stuff, I typically haven't.
Is Stairway to Heaven on that one too?
Yeah.
It's 4 then, I think. Okay. Yeah. It's on 4? I don't know. Zeppelin fans out there, tell me. I don't know.
But I was worried about it. And then when the Battle of Evermore came on, I went, holy frick.
It's an unreal track, eh?
These guys are nerds in a good way, and I loved it. So.
Well, I'm glad.
And Stairway to Heaven is overplayed, but it's a good song.
Stairway to Heaven is a phenomenal song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's overplayed, but I love the song. I love it. Anyways, let's get into the albums that we listened to this time.
Yes. So what we did this time was we tried to find albums that maybe the other person might actually enjoy, but also that we still enjoyed. Like.
Yeah, I wasn't just finding albums that I hated that you would like.
So I we got some notes here, and
you've got a lot more notes than me, but I got notes in here.
We'll go back, but first you announce the three albums you gave me and why you gave them to me.
Okay. Let's see. What albums did I give you? Did you end up listening to the first three I gave you, or did you go with my alternates?
No, I went with the first three.
Okay, cool. All right, so I gave Judah... Sorry, one second. Awkward time to sip.
A little sip.
I actually have everything that I thought about right up here. Oh, that's right. I thought about more Sheepdogs. There was one Sheepdog album that I thought you actually would like, and I didn't give it to you last time, but I decided against it because I don't think you like the Sheepdogs at all. I gave Judah... this album, Sad Hunk by Bahamas. It's not the Bahamas. It's just Bahamas. Great guy. I found him, discovered him with Judah in an album store in Halliburton, in a little vinyl shop. And they put, you know how they always have vinyls playing in a vinyl shop? They put the vinyl on and they started it from, I think, B-side. Because I remember... like the first song on B-side being on, and I was like, wow, this is an unreal song.
What song was it? Do you remember?
I think it was... what's it called? Why am I blanking on the name of this song? The one where he sings about overspending. Like, being, like, trapped in...
Keeping Up with the Joneses?
That's the one. Yeah. Thank you. I forgot about that. Keeping Up with the Joneses. I heard that right off the bat, and I was like, wow, I love... This is such a fun little bop. So then I used Shazam on Siri. I said, what's this song? And she found Keeping Up with the Joneses, and I went, okay, cool. The Bahamas. So then I listened to him.
It's actually not the Bahamas. It's just Bahamas.
Did I say the Bahamas?
You did this there. After
I made a fun of it.
You made a stink.
Sorry, Bahamas.
Yeah.
After I made a stink. And not a lot of his other albums are amazing, but this album was unreal. So I said, you know what? I think Judah would actually appreciate this because it's very fun and light. And anyways, we'll see if you appreciated it. And then I gave him Coming Home by Leon Bridges. He had listened to Leon Bridges before, but he told me that he hadn't listened to Coming Home yet. Just an unbelievable album. I got it from... my brother-in-law, Nick, shout out Nick, for Christmas, because he's real into music, and he kind of knows what I like, so he got me in The Secret Santa and got me Coming Home by Leon Bridges on vinyl, and I listen to it, like I said to Judah, every time I'm making dinner. It's an unreal, it's very fun and light and exciting. I like Leon Bridges. And and then I gave you completely, well, I, here's the thing, I thought about it, I went with a couple Elton John albums. I think, what did I end up giving you? Tumbleweed Connection and Honky Chateau. I think those were the two that I said as alternates.
Honky
Might
Chateau.
Might have been Caribou.
Or Caribou.
Yeah, so I was with those three. I went, okay, these are all really fun, like prime Elton John in the 70s albums. And then I had a couple Sheepdogs, Future Nostalgia, which I think you'd actually like. And then Out of Sight, which I also think you would like, but I decided against them. But then I ended up deciding on Completely Well by B.B. King, because I know Judah's a jazz blues boy. And then this is one of my favorite blues albums of all time. So I figured surely he'll enjoy this. Dear God, I hope he did. spit in the face of BB King if you don't. And then yeah, I gave you Elton John as backups and you didn't use them.
I didn't need to.
You hadn't heard the other ones.
You can put up the pictures of the albums if you want to
get around to it.
Yeah,
sure.
If you have enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the three Ben gave me.
That was my long, drawn-out explanation.
No, mine's going to be just as long, if
all
not
right,
longer.
Perfect.
I sweat over this process.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember like day one after you said doing it, you were like, I've got like 9.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Well, when I
suppose I had quite a few.
When I first brought up the idea of us doing this again, and framing it as music I think the other person would like, I don't know if you remember, the first album I said that I would give you was, I don't even know what the name of this album is now that I think about it. Let me pull it up.
Which one?
It's the My Chemical Romance album.
Oh, you said that you were going to get, and I was honestly surprised that I didn't see a My Chemical Romance, because you said they had Queen vibes, right?
Yes, a little bit. But I was starting to second guess myself. Okay. So, 3 Cheers for Sweet Revenge by My Chemical Romance. That was the first one on my list. Uh-huh. But then I was like, I get Queen vibes in like guitar tone. Like, okay. I don't, if you just threw on one of these songs and right. went, oh, like
but
Queen?
I'm pretty obsessed with Brian May's guitar tone, I think I would have gotten it.
I think you would have.
His guitar tone is special.
So, I think you would have, but yeah. I was a little worried. So,
that's okay.
That
that's
was
fine.
On the list.
Maybe I'll listen to it anyway.
I'll tell you this. So, honorable mentions. No, let me say what I gave you first, I guess. I gave you The Love Still Held Me Near by City and Color, the most recent City and Color album. Love this album. It's kind of folky. It's very Canadian. It's very, it deals a lot with themes of like faith and
are
like.
Are they Canadian?
City and Color is, yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. It's Dallas Green, who's also in Alexis on Fire.
Okay, I was going to say, I recognize that name.
Yeah. So City and Color, I believe, is named.
Is he the singer?
He's the singer, not the yeller in Alexis on Fire.
Right, but is he the singer in City in Color? Okay,
yes,
that makes sense.
I think City in Color is technically just him.
That has, we'll get into it later, but that has just cleared up something that was was killing me all the time while listening to that. In a good way, killing me, but anyways, continue going.
I believe City in Color is technically just him.
Okay.
And it's, so this blew my mind. I've been listening to City in Color for a while, and one of my coworkers at Best Buy once went, oh yeah, City in Color, like, because his name, Dallas Green. City and Color. I'm like, that's clever.
That makes so much sense.
So, I love his new most recent album. I think it's City and Color's most personal album.
Oh, my wife's home. That's okay.
That's
going.
Fine. I gave you Casadega by Bright Eyes. Very folky, almost country, kind of like old school Americana.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that one. Yeah.
And then I gave you Stephen Malkmus by Stephen Malkmus. Now I'll say this.
From 2001.
Yeah. Stephen Malkmus by Stephen Malkmus. If you look at my note for albums for Ben, that's still sitting in my honorable mentions. That was a game time decision.
Really? You just went crazy?
Yeah.
And you took My Chemical Romance out for that?
No, I actually had 3 potential albums in my third slot. There was Burst Apart by The Antlers, which is kind of poppy, bedroom pop, but it's a little bit bigger than
that. I
feel
like I've heard of them.
Mac DeMarco, his album number 2.
That's fair. Max loves Mac DeMarco.
He's great. Home Like No Place Is There by The Hotelier. Now, the reason I took My Chemical Romance out is because as much as I like the album, it's not like that special to me.
Right.
And I wanted to give you albums that I love dearly.
Yeah, that's fair. So you could defend them if I hated them.
Yeah. And so that's part of the reason why Burst Apart isn't in there, because I like Burst Apart, but I think The Antlers' better album is Hospice, and there was no shot I was giving you that, although it is in my honorable mentions. My other honorable mentions, everybody knows this is Nowhere by Neil Young.
Oh, Neil Young. All right.
Love Neil Young.
I would have loved that. That would have been great.
I know you would have.
I think I'm a little bit too familiar with Neil Young.
That's why
though.
I didn't. Yeah. I could have.
I've listened to Neil Young.
Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere is the most Ben Neil Young album, in my opinion.
Fair.
It's one of his older ones.
Right.
I also really like Russ Never Sleeps, Zuma, crazy. Mm-hmm. Better Oblivion Community Center by Better Oblivion Community Center.
What is with you and guys who go album name after the band?
Didn't give you that because Connor Oberst of Bright Eyes is also in that band, and I went, I can't give you 2.
That's fair.
The same guy.
That's fair.
Hostess by The Antlers. Illinois by Sufjan Stevens. Didn't give that to you. It's way too long. It's like 28 tracks.
Right.
I went, there's no shot. He's going to rip it apart because it's too long.
28 tracks is quite. That would have been quite a bit of listening. Yes. What's that like? 2.5 hours?
It's around that. I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty long. It's fun. It's very fun. I think you would have had fun with it. It's a little weird, but I think you would have liked it. But I never listen to it in one go because it's too much.
Yeah.
And then The Bends by Radiohead. Also very.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Probably the most Ben.
Yeah.
Radiohead album. And I was also like.
Other than maybe Pablo Honey.
Yeah. And I was just like, the same reason I didn't put Neil Young in there is like, I'm not introducing you to anything.
Yeah.
You know Radiohead, you know Neil Young.
Yeah. That's fair. I get that. And I think that was the right decision.
Yeah.
Because I know Radiohead. I'm sure I've listened to songs off of The Bends.
Yeah. So I went with.
I don't own the album.
Three albums that I figured there was a pretty good chance you've never listened to.
I had never heard of them before.
Yeah. I knew you would probably know City in Color.
I know people who listen to City in Color. Yeah.
But I was like, it's new enough of an album that there's no shot that you listen to this.
No, I hadn't heard it.
So those are the three. Head to head.
Head to head.
You want to go first?
Sure, I'll start. I'll start with one. What we're going to do is we're going to go a little back and forth here. Let the person give their synopsis. You can chat about it.
You can tell me what you thought, and I'll go, here's why you're wrong and stupid.
Honestly, I don't think part of me went into the process going, I'm not going to take a sip, but this is an awkward time to take a sip. part of me went into the process going, I kind of want to not like them because it's more fun to fight with Judah.
Yeah.
But... it became a little difficult to hate them sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll start with City in Color.
Okay.
I didn't write the album name here.
The Love Still Held Me Near.
This is going to go into what you cleared up for me. The entire time I was listening to this album, I was going, oh wow, I really like this guy's voice. I was like, he's got a really nice voice. What do I recognize his voice from? I go, Radiohead? And I go, no, it's not Radiohead. And I go, wow, this guy's got a great voice. What do I recognize his voice from? The entire time I'm listening to this album, I couldn't figure out what I recognize this guy's voice from. It's from, not that I've listened to Alexis on Fire very often, but I've heard them on the radio, and I'm like, that is where I know his voice from, because it's a very nice voice. Yeah. It's very soothing. Yeah, that was one of the main things I wrote down was that, wow, I love this guy's voice. It makes me very relaxed and soothed.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about his voice.
It's great.
It's just, it's nice. And I think that so much of me liking music is if a sing, because everybody, most people who are into music can sing the right notes. You can train to sing in the right key. Mm-hmm. Anyone can. I'm a firm believer that literally anybody can, if trained, can sing with the right note.
Yeah.
The question of who is a good singer, in my opinion, and who becomes popular is based on like their individual voice, how they sound, just, you know.
I agree with you like 1,000%.
Yeah.
If someone tries to introduce me to music and opens with they're a good singer, I do not care.
Yeah.
I care about unique sounding voices.
Everybody can sing.
You don't need to have their train. You don't need to even sound technically good for me to enjoy, as long as your voice is cool or fitting for the music.
Yeah, exactly. So I hate when people have weird sounding voices. It ruins the music for me.
Now, honestly, Dallas Green can sing very well.
Yes.
He's got a great voice and he's doing all the normal stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's very, but he just has like a tone to his voice that is very nice. So that was a big thing for me. I was like, this guy's got a great voice. Except the whole time I was trying to figure out where the hell I knew it from.
Yeah.
I said very talented but comfortable in a way. That's what I said about his voice. So I was like, man, this is really, really nice. I said, yeah, solid sound, easy to listen to. Really, just all around a great album. And then I said, F'd Up.
Yep.
Solid song.
Isn't that such a good song?
It's so much fun.
It's such a good song.
That was like, I was listening to it in the car with Nice on the way to Timbers, and I was like, ooh, a little swear in this one. And I went, ooh, this ought to be good. And it was great.
Yeah. It's almost too catchy.
Yes.
You're going to start humming
that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I was worried about, where I was like, I'm going to start saying the F word here because it's so nice sounding. Yeah. And then Without Warning, also, those were my top two that I think I tried to write top two in most of these. And F'd Up and Without Warning were my top two. Yeah. Great sounds.
I think F'd It Up is probably my highlight as well.
Yeah.
Something about I mean, the messaging behind the song is great.
Yeah.
Of like, we had everything we wanted, and we still
we had everything we needed.
And
yeah.
I love it. And what I like about it is it could be personal. It could be like a personal thing, or it's like us as all people.
Yeah.
What did we do?
Happened?
Where did we go wrong?
We just messed up.
Yeah.
I love it. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I can't remember why I liked Without Warning. I have to hear it again. I wrote it down.
I don't even know if I... The problem is when I listen to albums, I sometimes don't...
Forget what... Yeah, you're not paying attention to which song is. Yeah, I'm exactly the same.
Let me pull it up.
Well, because when I'm listening... I listen to a lot of my albums on vinyl, too, and I'm not sitting there staring at the track list going, okay, this is the third track. I just listen to it as one collective sound.
Oh yes, yes.
It sounds like
to be like a post breakup song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was great. So I gave them an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Because I wasn't blown away by the album, but I was like, I would listen again.
Right.
I would absolutely listen again. In fact, you have gotten me. I'm probably going to pursue City and Color.
I think for you. Now again, I was doing stuff like that's my favorite City and Color album, which is maybe controversial because it's so new. The first City and Color album is called Someplace, and it's basically just him and a guitar for 90% of it. And
fun.
I think that would probably be your favorite. It used to be my favorite.
Right.
I like every City and Color album I've ever listened to.
Right.
Took me a while to get into them because I didn't know anything about them, and the people who listened to City and Color when I was in high school also listened to a lot of music that I didn't care for, so I just assumed...
It's the same thing. Most of the people who listen to City and Color, I don't really even care about those people that much.
Well, I was just like, people would bring up City and Color in the same sentence as like a bunch, like Vance Joy, and I don't have any beef with Vance Joy, I just don't love Vance Joy.
Yeah.
So I would just be like, it's like... I was like ranking City and Color with like the Lumineers.
Yes, but that's what it felt like when I first started listening to it. I'm like, this is like an Arkells, even the Lumineers, like just kind of like a really, really easy. And not that those bands are bad. They're just a. I mean, you have a different idea of music. I think like I put a lot of value in easy to listen to music.
Right.
Like if you're just driving,
or you're
just chilling at home cooking or something and you want some nice, easy to listen to music, the Lumineers and like the Arkells, those types of things, they fit right in there for me, in my opinion. And I thought they did at first. City and Color, my first listen, I was like, okay, these guys are kind of being easy to listen to. But then they got interesting.
Yeah.
And then, Effed It Up was like the, I think that's like the third or fourth track
something
in the thing.
Like that.
And that was when I was like, well, okay, these guys are like, these guys are cool.
The first, the Meant to Be, which is the first album or the first track on the album, was a single. And that's when I was like, oh, this album's going to rip. Because it's just like, it's a great song about like, someone who passed and being like questioning your faith because of it and being like, this doesn't seems like that everyone else is saying this is how it was meant to be and I don't know if it is and growing up in the church, like that's a theme that comes up a lot, is like everything that happens for a reason, and I'm like, does it?
Do you have the same idea?
And so I thought that I was like, ooh, we're getting into it. And also like the Alexis on Fire album that came out, I think the year before or the same year, but earlier, also deals with a lot of like religious themes.
Right.
And so when Meant to Be came out, I was like, oh, dang, like this is going to be good.
Yeah, he's going to.
I'm glad you liked it.
I thought it was great.
I'm glad you liked it.
Solid 8 out of 10. We'll probably listen to another one of their albums.
Okay. Is it my turn?
It's your turn now. You've got a smirk on your face.
I do.
You're going to rip one into shreds.
I've got a problem here.
A problem?
Yeah.
With which one?
So I'm going to give it to you in the order that I listened.
Okay.
Now, Coming Home by Leon Bridges, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you one of the strongest starts to an album that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
First track, Coming Home.
Unbelievable.
10 out of 10 song.
Thank you.
Incredible song. Let me actually pull up the track list because...
Let me do it too because I can't remember. I listened to it
online.
I think
the next song is called Better Man. Incredible song.
Yeah, and there's Brown Skin Girl.
Incredible song.
Which is an unbelievable song as well. I'm glad you recognize that.
So, Coming Home, Better Man, Brown Skin Girl, Smooth Sailing, Shine.
Yeah.
Incredible start. Like just
incredible A-side.
Non-stop bangers. Now, Apple Music has the deluxe version, and that might come into play here.
Right.
because after the song Shine, we get a song called Lisa Sawyer, and I didn't care for that track.
Yeah.
I thought That's Lisa fair. Sawyer, I went, oh, this kind of seems a little odd. Then Flowers comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers, it's an earworm. It sticks in your head. It's kind of groovy.
Groovy, yeah.
But it's also groovy in a 19 fingers finger wagging way. that's the only way you dance is shaking around your finger. I wrote, my grandma would love this song. And she would. Both grandmas would love this song.
That's fair. There were some like that.
You better run like the bullet from a gun. Like I want to like it, but I think it's a little too sweet for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's fun. It's just that's where like the previous songs are like to me, they give me like an homage to the past.
Yeah.
Flowers comes out and I go, this is just a song from the 50s.
Right, that's fair.
That follows with the next song, Pull Away.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 1950s, I wrote, it dives into the 50s teen drama at a diner vibe. However, I give a lot of props to some of the decision making in the production.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like diner 50s. But what I love, this one little detail where when he's singing the chorus, he doesn't sing the main words of the chorus. That's when the actual chorus comes in of other singers. I thought that was very fun. Yep. I don't know if that's enough to get me back to that track.
Mm-hmm.
Then Twistin' and Groovin' comes on the deluxe album.
Yeah. I don't know if that's on the...
I don't believe it is.
It's on the vinyl. I don't think
it is. I don't know if it is. No. Maybe it is. I don't know.
River is. The rest of them, I don't know if that is.
Twistin' and Groovin', get it off the album. Stink City. Yeah. Not good. I think it's just what... To me, it's like... Your first five songs were so good. Track six, I went, it's fine. Seven, I went, it's fine. It's going to stick in my head, but I don't love it. Eight, same thing. By nine, I'm like, what happened to the beginning? Where were we? Where did we go?
Yeah.
We had everything we wanted. And then we effed it up. Don't like that album, that track at all.
That's fair.
You come back to River. River's an incredible track.
Yes, unreal. Yeah,
beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Heartwarming.
Yeah.
Soulful. After River, I'm really struggling.
Yeah, but most of those are like, I feel like he just needed to fill space.
See, that's my thing.
Because it's like 2.5 minute tracks till the end, right?
So we get, after River, we get There She Goes, Daisy May, Mississippi Kisses. All of those I didn't write anything about.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were kind of forgettable. I did write, like I would honestly, I think you, if I were a producer
mm-hmm.
who had people valued my opinion, which they don't, but if they did, I would trim this album down to a tight 30 minutes and get rid of a lot of this because I think
I would have gone a 10 song track. I would have stopped at River.
Yeah. But Here in My Arms,
which I think that I don't know how many tracks are on the vinyl. I think it might only be 10.
So that's why I said this is a deluxe problem. Because there's a song number 14, Here in My Arms. I would probably keep that. I thought that was a cute little love song. I think that one was actually better than... I think Here in My Arms is better than Lisa Sawyer. I think it's better than Daisy May. I think it's better than all these other love songs.
Yeah.
Do
you know why I would have liked to stop at River? Because the vinyl stops at River.
I see.
It has all of them and it stops at River, which to me is the best way to go.
With that, I would take Twistin' and Groovin', throw it in the garbage,
fair.
And I would replace it with this deluxe track, Here in My Arms, thought was quite nice, actually.
That's fair.
Take
away Lisa Sawyer and put out a line in there.
The end of the deluxe is out of line.
Yeah.
Garbage.
No, don't like it.
I to me, it was like, Here in My Arms was a highlight in the end of this digital album.
Mm-hmm.
Out of line... Just it felt like they were trying to do a big ending.
Yeah,
but to me, it felt like it was very conflicting.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the album feels conflicted on what it wants to be. It's an amalgamation of too many things. Especially, I did write again too long, but probably because it's the deluxe version I'm listening to. I honestly believe that if you cut Lisa Sawyer, replaced it with Here in My Arms or whatever the heck it's called, it would be a 10 out of 10 album.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay.
I thought it was a... I love
it's pretty good.
Those first five songs were so good.
Yeah.
Pull Away, I didn't think was incredible, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Same with Flowers. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they just get bogged down in all the other mess that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
So I gave the deluxe version either a 6 or a 7.
Okay. But what would you give this vinyl if you cut the last five tracks?
Oh, 10.
This is a 10.
Easily.
Okay.
Easily. Right. Even with Lisa Sawyer, I would not... Twisting and Grooving sucks.
Yeah.
I'd
be happy with an 8 or a 9 then, if you want to... Yeah. Because it's a couple bad tracks.
Yeah. River's incredible.
River's great. It's a good ending.
River, like...
That's why I'm happy that it end... That I'd say end it.
If I...
Why I had it is a good 15. Ending.
Yeah. If I owned the vinyl, it would bother me because I would want to be listening to River and I don't really care about the previous four.
Right.
The A-side, though, those first five tracks are...
Dude, yeah.
Perfect.
A-side blows B-side out of the water.
There's no problems.
And I'm glad that you identified that.
Oh, it's so good.
That's my only hold up when I listen to this album. Is that if I had the choice, I would just keep playing A side on repeat. I don't love swapping the B side.
Yeah.
Because exactly what you said. When I flip the B side, I'm just waiting for a River.
Yeah.
Not that these are all bad.
No.
Flowers is
fun.
But for the most part, I'm waiting for River.
I had
but
fun here, with Pull Away.
I'm having fun in every single song.
Every one of those songs was
I'm honestly sad when Coming Home leaves because that's my favorite one.
It's the best one.
It's unbelievable.
And then, but Better Man's still really solid. I think Better Man is underrated.
Brown Skin Girl is great.
They're all so those first, that's what I wrote is
I'm glad that you came with
I
that.
Think because the digital album is 15 tracks,
it's only 10,
and I loved the first five, the rest I sort of didn't love.
I was like
I gotta give it like a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But I did write it. I easily feel like those first five are 10 out of 10. River's really good. And I did like Here in My Arms, there I think go. Is what it's called.
Yeah. It's the 14th track. Yeah. So here's it's funny you say this too, because I feel the same way about this album that I do about all of his music. Mm-hmm. And that is this album, in my opinion, is better than everything else.
Right.
That he's produced. Right. I don't think that at least in these first five songs, in what I've listened, I haven't listened to his entire discography, but from what I have listened to, I don't think he captured the magic ever again.
Right.
That he captured with side A of this album.
What I read is it from, I was trying to look into it a little bit because I know you said that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I skipped like 3 seconds or like I went, skipped through some of his other albums. And it seems like, and I read an interview that seemed like he was like, he didn't want to get stuck as like the retro guy.
Yeah, which I get.
But I know what you mean. There's a charm in those first five songs that are just so fun.
Yeah.
I felt like towards the end, it did feel like kind of filling space.
Yeah.
Especially to get like a deluxe version out there. And of the stuff I very like literally skimmed through, I was like, yeah, it seems like you're trying really hard to not be stuck in a niche, but maybe. Yeah.
And like I get in that and I heard that and I get that you don't want to be the retro guy, mm-hmm. but bro, Coming Home crushed. It's such an amazing sound.
Yeah.
Don't run away from it. I don't know. Evolve it or something.
Yeah.
But don't. It felt like he ran away and he was like, I'm going to go to a different sound. And
it
I'm
did like, kind of seem like he was trying to do like a full.
I love Coming Home, so just do it again. Like, reinvent it somehow.
It seemed like he tried, rather than to just evolve, it seemed like he's trying to do like a full 180.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know.
And that's why he lost me. So I love Leon Bridges for this album. I have, and from what I have, like from and what I've, where I've branched out, I don't love what else he has to offer. Enough. But I'm glad that you, glad that you appreciated side A at least.
Like,
this
I
album.
Honestly, I never
it's
do
unbelievable.
This.
Unbelievable.
Normally, when I get an album, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have to keep the whole album on my phone.
Right.
I probably won't with this, but that's I don't want to get rid of the album. Yeah. I'll probably just remove the tracks and create my own.
I would recommend
perfect world.
Buying this.
Oh, I easily
vinyl.
Would. I would
because this vinyl is just fun to have.
It's when the way you described it of like putting it on while cooking. That's it's perfect for that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It oftentimes what I end up doing when I'm cooking with Niece and this song is on, we just end up dancing to it.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's great. Especially the first five tracks.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that they have it at Record Shop by Your House.
Oh, okay.
I saw it there. Right. So if you're ever perusing, this is it. This is, you'll find it there.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I honestly would give it a 6 or a 7 depending on the mood. I think my initial reaction was to give it the 6 because I was so disappointed in how it ended. But I also acknowledged that that was likely the deluxe version.
And I'm comfortable with that. I think if I had just given you the vinyl, you would have had a different experience.
Yes.
So
it's also like the perfect like vinyl album because it's like it's old school.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah, it just it feels right when you're playing it on vinyl.
It would probably be elevated by the odd
yeah
popper. Vinyl crackle.
Yeah. The warmth. Honestly, yeah. In hindsight, I should have just given you the vinyl, but I mean, that's okay.
It's all good. It did not. I'll say this: the poopy tracks that I didn't love did not deter me from most of the album.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Although I thought Twist and Groovin' was stupid, but you know, yeah, no big
deal. It kind of felt like a twist. It's like a Twist and Shout by the Beatles, where it's like, okay.
Well, exactly.
It's just kind of like, well,
whatever. I saw someone.
It's groovy.
I saw someone writing about it, where they literally were like. It's just nice that Leon Bridges is filling a hole where we don't really have music to twist to anymore. And I'm like, what are you, 98 years old?
That's an unbelievable thing to say. Why would you say that?
What are you talking about?
There's a rip about that. Yeah, it felt it is obviously titled similarly, but yeah, it's like a Twist and Shout.
It's
like
fun.
No one's going, oh, I love the Beatles, man. Twist and Shout is just unbelievable. No one's saying that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It does its job.
Yeah, it's fun. It's groovy, but it's like, no one's saying. You know, if someone threw Twist and Shout into the garbage, I would still be a Beatles fan. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not dying on Twist and Shout. Ferris Bueller would have a tough time, but that's okay.
Yeah, that would really make the movie kind of awkward.
That would really frick up
Ferris
Bueller.
Being on the float in silence.
They're all mouthing.
Yeah.
We don't know what the song is.
Seems like they're having fun. They're doing something.
And then everyone's just like,
yeah.
Oh, wow. They're all yelling. Anyways, well, I'm comfortable with that considering you listen to the deluxe version. So.
You're up.
I'm up. Bright Eyes also didn't write the name of the album again.
Casadega.
That's the one, Casadega.
Oh,
thank
I
you.
Should have warned you. Oh, I didn't even think about it until just this moment.
What?
The first track's basically a write-off Dude, on every okay, Bright Eyes song
thank
album.
You. Thank
I forgot
you.
To tell you.
I was so confused.
I forgot.
So here's this filters in. To
okay.
Niece wrote in the notes here because I was listening to it in the car and I was getting her to write notes for me because I was driving.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
And she wrote like during the first couple tracks, this just sounds like noise and not good noise because it was just like I couldn't figure out what's going
on
in the first track.
Every Bright Eyes album, the first track is, in my opinion, skippable.
Yes,
you don't need
yes.
it.
Yes, and here's the thing, and here's what I said. I said, it's the first track, so I know that some people like to do that with their first track. They like most of the time when they do something weird like this, it's like 45 seconds, not 6 minutes.
Yeah, but it's like, I forgot to tell you
because that's why they kind of lost me to open up. Let me pull it up because I want to see all the tracks.
I should have warned
Casadega.
I didn't. I skipped. I've listened to that song once.
Yes. Okay.
Because every album
I was worried going into it that you were going to be like, "What? You don't? Didn't you listen to what they were saying in it? Like it was nuts." And I'm like, "It's just a jumble. Like I hate it. It actually gave me like anxiety a little bit.
It is stressful.
Like, I was like, "What is going on in here?" And it's 6 minutes, which is excessive for an intro track. That is experimental. If you're going to do some weird experimental track, 2 minutes max with this nonsense
he always does that.
Voice in the back. Don't give me this 6 minute thing right out of the. I'm driving. I've never even heard of you before, Bright Eyes. And this is what you open up with? Shocked me.
I think I read an interview that he said, like, that the first track is like almost like an intentional deterrent.
Yeah.
And
it almost made me shut it off.
And if you get through that, you're rewarded with the rest of the album.
I'm like, that's pretty funny.
It's funny. That's it's insane. Funny.
It's such a stupid thing to say. And here's how it went for me. Four Winds didn't really love. I know it's a like a hit. Or at least it has like the star on Apple Music.
But you want to know why?
Why?
Because everyone treats it like the first song.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Yeah, I yeah, I didn't. As I progressed through this album, and I think it was because I needed like a palate cleanse because I was so upset with what was going on. As soon as Four Winds came on, I immediately wrote "Don't love the voice." Like, I didn't like his tone.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm going to show you that my evolution through this album.
Okay, hit me with it.
As I go over this year, didn't love the voice as Four Winds hit, and I think it was because I was still thrown off by the first track. If the Brakeman Turns My Way, pretty fun, but didn't really care for it. Then we get to Hot Knives. Oh, buddy. Before we get to Hot Knives, I go, this is like a 6 out of 10, maybe a 5. I hate this album. Then we got to Hot Knives, and it's like a switch flipped. Hot Knives was unbelievable.
It gets you, eh?
Is it? I don't know. Is it like, what is the, you know when, is it like Irish or Scottish? You know when like the music is like, there's like, is it like a violin and a fiddle the same thing, or are they two different things?
I think they're technically different, but I think the origins in the fiddle was someone just playing a violin aggressively. I think the instruments have evolved since then to lend to their strengths. Right. But
so what has he got in here? Is that a violin or a fiddle? Or because it's very like quick
I would guess a fiddle.
Yeah. So anyways, what is like the, I have to like try and sing it, but it's like, you know, like when music is like, well, then she went to and then the whole band just kind of comes in and goes nuts. It felt like that. There's is that Scottish or Irish?
I know what you're saying.
That gets the origins there.
Hot Knives has a very circular, like driving. Yes. Like
it goes up and then it comes back down, and it's just kind of very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote like Hot Knives is a fun Scottish vibe ? Because I was just like, I don't know, it's folky. I loved it. I loved it. And then, so that redeemed it. And then I wrote right after, Make a Plan to Love Me, redeemed it again.
Nice.
Because another just great. Like, I don't know why he didn't start the album with this, man. Like, you had to start your album with your weirdo nonsense. And as soon as we get into Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, unbelievable soul singer and a session man.
I knew you'd like that one.
It's so fun. It's crazy, it's so much fun. Oh my goodness. I'm just start the album with these four tracks or these three tracks. Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, Soul Singer, and a Session Band.
I think though,
it doesn't get better than that. In my opinion.
I think if you go back, Four Winds and Brakeman might grow on you.
I feel like I should go back and listen to them again. Not having just fresh come off of the 6-minute intro.
I forgot to tell you about the first track. I should have warned you. Because in my head, it doesn't exist. In my head, I went,
it's nonsense.
I went, as I'm like preparing for you to listen, I go, he's probably not going to get four wins. He might not dig it. It's very like odd. It's very like spiritual religion.
Yeah.
like there's a lyric in there that the first time I heard it, I kind of chuckled, which was like, basically like, amounts to like something like if you burned all the religious books all together and like breathed in the smoke, you'd get somewhere close to the truth or something.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But Brakeman, I thought would be the turning point for you. Okay. I didn't realize how much of a lasting effect.
I must have still. I think if I started at Four Winds over again and forgot that track one ever existed.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have had a different view, and I'll give it a go at some point again and let you go. But Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, Soul Singing, Ascension Band.
Yeah.
That was the peak of the album. In my opinion, we were at the hill.
Yeah.
And then not that we like dived off the edge, but it just slowly went down from there. In my opinion, Classic Cars was good. Cleanse Song. I was like, is this meant to be a palate cleanse? Because it felt like it changed.
Yes, it does change a little bit.
Yeah, it went, I just felt like the sound changed all of a sudden. And then it was called a cleanse song, and I was like, are you trying to cleanse us for the future here? And then it went right back, I feel like, to what it was before. But I ended up giving it, I said, at the beginning, this is one of the worst albums I've ever heard, and then I said at the end, 9 out of 10.
Oh,
I loved it.
I loved it.
Like Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, and Soul Singer, and Session Band alone,
dude,
are unbelievable.
Soul Singer, so good. Middleman, I quite that one was a sleeper for me.
Yeah,
I've listened to that album many times, and Middleman just became one that I was like, oh, I kind of slept on that one.
Maybe
same with Cleanse Song, actually.
It's tough too because I didn't have enough time to give these albums like a second listen, and sometimes second listen is when you. is when you really get going.
Yeah.
And if I did a second listen, I would have just skipped one. So that would have helped.
Lime Tree, I think, is a nice sweet closer. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. The earlier, like I would say, my typical like revisits is 2 to 9.
Right. Yes.
That chunk.
I think I'm happy with that. Not the 10, 11, 12, and 13 suck. I just, they weren't very memorable for me.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah.
When you pad the front of your album, I mean, again, if you ignore the first song, you pad the front of your album that strong.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I knew you were going to like Soul Singer. I'm so glad you enjoyed
that.
It's so
good.
It's so funny, though.
I'm saving all these songs.
I'm so upset because, well, I'm not upset, but it's so funny, this idea that, like, we agree, like, okay, we're going to share albums that we think the other person's going to like. You pop in Cast an Egg, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, what an idiot.
That's what Why would he do that? I said because I saw Alternative.
Yeah.
And I go, and I think, I don't know if the other one was Alternative. I don't think it was. Like, the first,
I have no idea.
City and Color. I don't think it was deemed Alternative on
Apple Music.
On Apple Music. And so I was like, okay, you know, he wants me to like it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, it's not going to be his weirdo alternative crap. Like, it's going to be something fun. And then I start track one and I'm like, it's his weirdo alternative crap. I was like, look what he just did to me again. He's going to torture me for like another hour and a half as I listen through this nonsense. And it just kept going. And I just got angry because I was like, when is this first track going to end? And then I was like, when's the music starting? And then I think that's why I hated 2 and 3 because I was just angry. Yeah. And then 4 got me going, and then 5 and 6.
It
never stopped.
When I first heard about Bright Eyes, I think I had a similar trend where I went, my buddy Riley showed me a song. It was a first track on one of the albums. He went, yo, check this out. Immediately I was like, this is too long and pointless. I went, his voice sucks.
Yeah.
I went, he can't really sing.
Yeah, that's the thing. The voice kind of threw me off at first. I went,
he's good at writing lyrics, but he can't really sing.
Yeah.
And I that first song, which I think is called like At the Bottom of Everything off of that one album that I forget the name of right now. I was like, yeah, no, Bright Eyes isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah.
And then Bright Eyes released an album a few years ago called Down in the Weeds or something. Down in the Weeds or Everything Was, or I don't know. But the first track on that, I thought it came out and I went, you know what? Riley's always talking about Bright Eyes. Let me give Bright Eyes another go. First track, still not great, but more something.
Yeah.
And it's not 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
So after that song on the most recent Bright Eyes album, I was like, okay. And I kind of got into it. There was a turning point for me where it clicked and I got it.
Yeah.
And then when I went back and started listening to previous Bright Eyes stuff, I went back to that first album they showed me, and there are some hits on there.
Yep.
That I almost gave you that album.
Yeah.
If I can remember.
I'm glad you gave me this one.
But Casadega is, I think, Connor Oberst, the main guy in Bright Eyes. I think it's him at his most confident while still being a little questioning and experimental.
Yeah.
And to dive into that folk sound, he always has like a folk guitar kind of vibe, but
there was something more there.
He really lends to it in Bright Eyes. I mean, even the cover with the palm trees and the pyramids and the, you know, the comet, it's just it's just fun. And
I loved
and
it.
LA quirky.
Soul Singer in a session band, I thought about as I'm listening to this, same with kind of Hot Knives, was like, this feels like the kind of song to be sung in like a tavern by a bunch of men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In that way where you're just kind of like yo-hoing along.
You could see, I think, I could so easily picture walking into a bar.
Yeah.
And there's just a dude, like you didn't even know that they had a musician that night, and it's just a dude with a guitar, and everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah, and he's just singing this.
Yeah.
Exactly that. And it's funny that you said you didn't like his voice at first, because it goes back to what I said before, where kind of a, you know, whatever with singing, like he can sing,
but
I didn't love the tone. I didn't like the sound of his voice. And then, but as the album progressed, I was like, okay, he's actually,
because Hot Knives kicks, dude.
Hot Knives is unbelievable.
It kicks, bro.
I
give me Hot Knives.
Oh, I'm
give
gonna
me Sweet Lies.
Or I'm gonna like Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, and Soul Singer Session Band. Like, I'm gonna give it a second listen to, because I think I'm a firm believer that you can't just listen to an album once.
Yeah.
Like for the means of this exercise, it's I don't really have enough. I didn't have enough time in the week to listen to all of these albums twice through, But that to me would be better because, like I always say it to Denise, whenever I listen to an album, I was like, all right, well, time to do the second listen to see if it sticks out a little more. And I think the second listen would become 10 out of 10
right.
on a second listen.
I'm glad.
But it's just 9 right now. But Hot Knives, Make a Plan to Love Me, and Soul Singer Session Band are getting saved individually and probably put on my playlist, playlist. Yeah.
Is your front door supposed to be open?
Holy frick.
That was one. It's got a little chilly.
Niece. Okay. Niece, you left the front door open. Oh, it's open. Yeah. I got it. It's a ghost. Like thanks for noticing that.
I was like, my legs feel chilly. And I could hear like something running. And I was like, oh, are they running laundry? I was like, that wouldn't make it cold. And it was just the wind. And I leaned out.
The door bumping against the frame.
Yeah.
That's funny. Anyways, yeah. So
glad you liked
9
it.
9 out of 10, loved that album.
I'm so
it
glad.
Was great.
It was all great. Right. My turn. I think I just went in order again. Like I went to Sad Hunk by Bahamas. Not the Bahamas.
Even though I said the Bahamas. Yeah. That's just embarrassing.
Okay, actually, let me get the track list up too.
Yeah, let me pull it up as well.
Because that will just
make... It's always hard to remember these things. There's too much music out there, guys.
I will say, first... Okay. Album's very fun. It's a fun album.
Yeah.
Trick to Happy is the opener. I thought it was fine. But...
Just fine, eh?
I don't know why I didn't love it. What clicked for me was track 2, On Alone.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah,
okay. Super right, fun.
I can settle upbeat, with that.
It's driving. It's energetic. There's great guitar. The bass is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Trick to Happy is fun. I like the beginning of the album. I went, oh yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
On Alone kicked in, and I went, okay, this is really fun. Less Than Love, I thought was less fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little weaker, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
I could see that really like. A lot of these tracks have some catchy lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It's very quirky in some of its lyrical choices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love how loud the vocals are mixed in most of the... Because he's kind of got like a talky singing voice, which is very Canadian to me. But that's not a big problem. Done Did Me No Good... Awesome.
Thank God. I'm so glad. I thought you were going to make fun of Done Did Me Good. It's so fun.
Track.
I love it. It's one of my favorite songs.
I was listening to it while I was driving. And when he first sings Done Did Me No Good, I was like, that's hilarious. That's so good. And then I saw that he named the track that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great. I love that song. Yeah.
I wrote it, You Can't Help But Groove.
Yep.
The I don't know if it's a guitar or a banjo. The tone on it is disgusting, but in such a good way.
Yes, yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the intro song for Corner Gas.
Okay.
I love that. I love Corner Gas.
It's fun. It's very fun and exciting. Yeah.
Going into Half Your Love, I think Half Your Love is light. I think it's cute. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually very sweet. It's a very sweet song.
I think he just revamped it in his most recent album.
Okay.
He did, I haven't listened to it yet, but he did like a, on Valentine's Day, I think he released like a love, all of his love ones.
Right, right.
And I think he like revamped a couple of them, but anyways, I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I thought Half Your Love was a very sweet song. I could see that being like a couple song, you know? I wrote this note, and then it's irrelevant because I wrote Pedal Steel. Don't remember which song it is, but I love it. As I re-listened, I remembered where it was. I think towards the end, Up With The Jones is fun. It's fun, though, in a way that feels different than the previous stuff.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
It feels like more radio fun. Like. Yeah. Keep up. Like, it feels more formulaic. After that, Not Cool Anymore, Can't Complain, Fair Share. They all kind of felt, again, like more vanilla.
Yeah.
I felt like the first 5 songs were, like, weird. And even for me, like, I was like, oh, that's weird and fun.
Yeah.
Whereas after that, I was like, okay... It's a little bit less weird, whatever. Got a little samey. Like, can't complain, not cool anymore, up with the Jones. Like, it's all similar themes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just an old dude past my prime. I can't keep up. I don't have enough money. I'm not cool anymore. You know, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Even Fair Share, similar vibe to me. Then you get to Wisdom of the World. The hell is this guy talking about?
He kind of went off the rails at the end.
Like, I remember I was listening the first time, and I'm like, oh, talking about, like, a dude on fentanyl.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's odd. And he's like, but, you know, he's working in a store, can't complain, can't, I'm not going to look down on him. And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, I'm not going to say anything rude to him, because if he didn't see it at my show, he didn't see people talking about my genius, he would only see my meanness. And I'm like, what? And then he's got this lyric about his kid being, like, mixed race, but you can't see it in her face. And I'm like,
it's, it's funny. It's a weird one. It's a weird end.
So yeah. I was like, what? I wrote, what the hell are you talking about, man? But then the guitar is super reminiscent to me. You know, only listens to Neil Young guy voice. It's very reminiscent of Neil Young. Yeah. Russ Never Sleeps.
He's very talented with the guitar.
It's this super awesome grungy in your face sound. That's also when the pedal steel comes in, is at the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a switch point in that track where it gets kind of airy. It's very fitting for the name. It's very like beachy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the sound of the track, incredible. The lyrics to me make it borderline unlistenable, because I'm just like, what? And because of the mixing, like, the vocals are mixed so high above everything else that I'm like, it's not even like you can avoid them.
Yeah.
They're so in your face.
Yeah.
The guitar tone on that track is awesome. What confused me, because that track does the switch partway, it doesn't feel like a final track. Mm-hmm. It feels like there should be like one or two songs after.
Right.
And maybe that's because I listened to it after Leon Bridges, which was very long feeling. It's a concise album, but yeah, ending on Wisdom of the World, I was like, it just felt like it kind of ended.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Trick to Happy started playing again. I was like, oh, I guess it's done.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
I thought it was a worthwhile album. It's definitely not one that I would... I'm not going to say I would never listen to it again, because I would.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these songs are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they're catchy. Like, even the ones I didn't love, like Up With The Jones, I didn't love it, but it's catchy.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 7 out of 10. I honestly, towards the end, I thought some of the catchiness did taper off.
Yeah.
In those last three tracks or four tracks. And then, Wisdom of the World, I was like, dude, if this was a lyrical track, it would be an incredible track, or not a lyrical, instrumental.
Yeah.
But I like the fentanyl line. I was listening, going like, huh. When it got to like the mixed race, see it in her face, out loud, I went, what the, what? And I had to, like, I was driving to the tattoo shop. When I got to the tattoo shop, I had to look up the lyrics and go, like, I was like, oh, surely I missed something.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. The lyrics don't make any sense. I don't understand what he's trying to say. I mean, the end of it seems like the last few lines where, like, he keeps repeating, maybe it's all about forgiveness or something.
Yeah.
I was like, is that supposed to tie in everything else?
Yeah.
But I was just like, what? What? Like, I lost me a little bit there, Bahamas.
That's fair, man. I. Well, okay, so.
I'll also say this. Album art, incredible.
It's fun. Very fun, right?
It's fun.
It's like a school picture.
Yes.
Yes.
With like that 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a kid at a school picture. Hanging on the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the 80s kind of writing. I loved, Okay, so I'm with you. Can't complain. Fair Share, Wisdom in the World. Don't really care for those last three tracks. I find this theme kind of exists with me for a lot of albums.
Yeah.
The first side A is always better than side B.
Right.
The only thing is, I think side six, Up With The Jones, is what starts side B.
Right.
And Up With The Jones is my favorite song on this album. I love it. It's so fun.
I think if you lost those last three, the album again, it'd be shorter, maybe too short to be an album, but it would be a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Because Up With The Jones is not bad.
Yeah.
It's just after the next few songs kept coming, and I was just like, it just sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I don't have any beef with Up with the Jones. Yeah. If it was bad, I would have written a note about it.
Right.
It was perfectly in the middle. And I honestly can see how that would be the track that you hear in a store and go, "What the heck is it?"
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah.
But to me, in comparison, if that was my first introduction to this sound or the album or Bahamas in general, I could easily see that being my favorite track because it is fun.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's why it was. Yeah.
To me, it was washed over by how fun Own Alone. Done Did Me No Good is such a hilarious.
It's so great, isn't it? It's my second favorite.
Yeah. So to me, I was like, that's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So Up with the Jones, I think you're right. It's because I heard it in a store. Yeah. I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. But yeah, Trick to Happy, I love. It is an opening track. And then, yeah, Own Alone, Less Than Love. Less Than Love and Half Your Love, I don't care for as much. They are good. But yeah, it's the fact that there's the sandwich. It's the Done Did Me No Good sandwich.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, all right, Less Than Love, let's get done with this one so I can get to Done Did Me Go Good. And then I usually with Half Your Love, I'm thinking, man, Done Did Me Go Good was good.
Yeah.
And then Up with the Jones comes on, and I'm like, okay, we're back. So, yeah, it's...
Do you have this on vinyl as well?
No, not yet. I've heard it on vinyl, like, in stores.
Yeah.
I just haven't bought it. I have to buy it. I just haven't. And I've picked it up and I've looked at it, but I haven't bought it because it's always expensive.
Yeah.
And here's the thing too with Bahamas, and I said this to you. I haven't found anything of his that I love as much.
Mm. Right. This was kind of a big point.
Yeah. So he's released
tons of stuff before.
A bunch of stuff before and a bunch of stuff recently.
Okay.
But most of them are like features. Like he's featured in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And then he released like repackaged love songs. That's what it's called there.
Mm.
Where I think I haven't listened to it yet. So maybe it's good. But I think he took like Half My Love and Less Than Love and all of his,
his
love songs and kind of repackaged them. His most recent full album was Bootcut in 2023. Terrible.
Didn't like it.
Have you? It's like the same song 10 times and it's like it's much more country and you can see it in the album art. It's called
Bootcut, yeah.
Yeah, and it's I don't like it at all.
Fair.
So he kind of I listened to that recently and I was like, "Oh, like this is not as good."
Sad Hunk came out in 2020. I don't know what month, but it seems like I think you could gather a pretty large list of albums that came out in 2020 during the pandemic or just at the beginning.
Yeah.
Where artists went, I want to have some fun.
Yeah, I'm just going to frick around.
Who cares? Yeah. And those albums are awesome. Yeah,
and I think that's why. I think because, exactly.
Weezer came out with OK Human.
Yeah, I know, which is crazy.
And then they just released Poopy Garbage since then. Like the worst stinking dog.
I still listen to OK Human all the time.
It's such a good album.
And that's what it felt like where I was like, because I listened to some of his older stuff, like Bahamas is Affy and Bar Chords and like Earth Tones from 2018. And like, I don't love Earth Tones. Bar Chords is pretty good. Nothing captured the magic of Sad Hunk quite like Sad Hunk. And then I listen to Sad Hunk, right? And I'm like, oh, 2020. And then he releases Bootcut in 2023. And
you're like, oh, surely this is going to be good.
Yeah, because I'm like, because that was his old stuff. Bar Chords and Bahamas is Affy and all that. That's all from 2012. So I'm like, okay, he found his sound. Yeah, like sound in 2020.
He's going to evolve
on it. He's going to crush it in Bootcut. And he didn't. That sucks. And I think the way that you've said it is perfect, where I think he just went, frick it, during pandemic and went, let's get crazy with this. And he did. And then he comes back to Bootcut and he's like, and it's just boring. So anyways, I have to listen to repackaged love songs because maybe he kind of
has some fun with it.
Some of the Less Than Love, like he definitely took songs from this album and moved them around. So hopefully like it messed with them a bit. So
ultimately, I would say if you're into something kind of fun and just a touch odd, it's not weird.
Nope.
It's just fun. I wouldn't even call it weird or odd. It's just fun. We like slightly different. I would listen to it. Sad Hunk, Bahamas, Canadian boy.
He's from Toronto, guys. Give him guy's a good guy. He was on The Bachelor.
I read that.
Yeah.
I read that on his Wikipedia. Cause I had to, when I was listening to
recently,
when I was listening to Done Did Me No Good, I was like, there was a small part of me, I knew it wasn't, but I was like, this guy did the Corner Gas intro. Like, this song reminds me of so much. And I'm like, I was like, he's probably not even Canadian. I look up, he is Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's,
I'm like,
he's a Canadian boy. Toronto born, I think.
But yeah, 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
That's a, what is it? What's a 7? A C? Maybe a C plus. I'll give it a 7.5.
There you go.
I don't know.
A 7.5 is a B.
Is it?
In
perfect.
School. Yeah.
There you go.
B plus.
Yeah, I give it a 7.5.
That's the thing. I really listen to it when I'm driving. It's a fun driving album because it doesn't take a lot of effort.
It's a summer album for sure.
Yes, it's a summer album. I would, put that bad boy on when you're hanging out at the beach.
Yeah.
Cottage. The Cottage. It's a Cottage album for sure. Yeah. I really want to give some more of his stuff some more like intense listens because I want to find something that is like this, but I'm scared that it doesn't exist. I don't think he ever replicated this.
That's fair.
Anyways, yeah. Stumbled upon this guy and it was a fun little stumble. All right. Stephen Malkmus. Listened to it this morning. Fun. JoJo's Jacket is I love it. Great song. He's clearly a very cool guy. That's what I wrote. Love his vibe. The rest of it was very memorable for me, and I feel bad. Like, are you obsessed with this guy at all or no?
So Stephen Malkmus is
he's an old guy, so I could see you being. Well, he's the front man
of Pavement.
Okay, never heard of him.
And then Stephen Malkmus, I believe, was his first solo. I mean, self-titled.
Yeah.
Let me see.
It's.
I mean, I think the album's a 10 out of 10.
That's fair. It's exciting. I like it.
Every song has its own sound.
That's fair.
It has its own story.
It all kind of blended together for me.
Well, you
now,
listened to it this morning.
I did listen to it this morning, and I did listen to it like off and on while I was in a lecture. So that may have swayed how much I noticed the differentiation. Now, so I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I also have... when I first listened to it, I saw it on a Twitter thread of people. I think the Twitter thread was literally like, what are some albums that people don't know about that you believe are 10 out of 10?
Right.
And this was one of them. And Black Book... Fun start.
Yeah.
Fantasies,
it
fun.
Is a fun. Yeah.
JoJo's Jacket, very fun. When Church on White came on.
Yeah.
Church on White.
Okay.
I was driving.
Yeah.
The guitar part at the end of Church on White is what made me decide I wanted to learn guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's guitar in a way that doesn't feel formulaic.
Right.
It's two guitars bouncing off of each other.
Right.
And it's just... I've never heard guitar used so often when people tell me about like, oh, dude, that guitar sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar is the point of the song.
Yep.
It's like almost like another vocalist.
Yeah.
This to me, I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Guitar's just an instrument that you can use however you want.
Yeah.
And yeah, Church on White was that song.
That's fair.
I think it's also about cocaine.
I might have faded away from it.
Hey, that's
and
fair.
I think I need it because you know what it was? It was Black Book and Fantasies were pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I sort of. In the middle of Fantasies, I faded back into my lecture.
Yeah.
And then JoJo's Jacket pulled me out of my lecture. Yeah. I had one ear in the lecture, and then it was playing on my phone down on the desk here next to me, and I was paying attention to my teacher speaking, and I went, oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's kind of fun. And then I stopped listening to her and listened to all of JoJo Jacket, and I think that's why I have it written here as, wow, that was a really fun song. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I think I need to listen to it a second time and go through it. Jenny and the S-Dog was fun.
Yep.
That was a fun little ending. I know Dedo is the ender, but
but
Jenny and the S-Dog was close enough to the end that I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, Dedo's kind of like a sequel to Jenny and the S-Dog.
Yeah,
basically.
It's kind of just, it's good, but not memorable. Jenny and the S-Dog was memorable. It was fun. But yeah, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Because I was like, again, a super fun album that I would listen to again. But yeah, it didn't blow me away. But it was good.
The first time, I will say this too. The first time I listened to
He looks like a. Is this him?
Yeah.
He looks cute.
He is. I mean, he looks less cute now.
Does he? I imagine he's much older. This is 2001.
Yeah.
But
he.
He's a cute little looking guy.
He's hot.
Yeah. And I think that actually built onto it for me because as I listened to him, I'm going, wow, this little cute guy is singing this.
He, Pavement. Yeah, he just looks old now. He kind of looks like Jalen.
Holy frick, that's Jalen, bro.
Like, that's what Jalen's going to look like, I think.
That It's the nose, I think, yeah. too. Yeah, big nose.
Pavement.
The smile, kind of. Wow, he is much older now.
Pavement
He looks
has
like Roderick from
yeah, he does.
From flipping Diary of a
Yeah.
Wimbledon, you know?
Roderick rules. Pavement was a band that I think coined, I don't know if they coined or someone coined it for them, the term slouch rock. It was just slouch like, rock. We're playing rock and we don't really know what we're doing.
Okay.
And that kind of, I think, informed, like, Stephen Malkmus taught himself guitar. This is, I don't know if this is true or urban legend, taught himself guitar by playing along to,
urban legend,
playing along to, what the hell's Jimi Hendrix album?
Okay.
With no one teaching him how to do it.
He just figured
it
out.
And just going like, oh, that sounds good. And so it's not perfect. And so Pavement is a lot of that.
Wow.
And then I think, yeah, I think he was just like, you know what? I'm just going to have a ton of fun. Pavement's a lot grungier. Mm-hmm. The Stephen Malkmus album, like when I first listened to it,
it's nice.
The first time I listened to it all the way through, I went 10 out of 10. There's like maybe one good track on it.
Right.
And then ever since, every time I've listened to it, I found new appreciation
okay,
for
so
some
I
of
think,
the songs.
I think this is going to need a second listen from me then because
the hook,
yeah. Is it good? Yeah.
It's about getting kidnapped by Turkish. That's a Turkish pirate song.
Okay. Yeah. I see. I had the lyrics up.
Yeah.
And I was, again, I was listening to my lecture and I look over my phone and I'm like, what is this guy singing about?
Yeah.
It was like these weird lyrics.
He gets kidnapped by Turkish pirates.
Yeah.
And then he becomes their mascot.
Yes, yeah,
and then he eventually works his way up to becoming his own pirate.
Yeah, yeah, which is so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll give us a second listen and get back to you. But I think, yeah, JoJo's Jacket was really good. It was my favorite.
That's a good one.
Pulled me out of the lecture and I was like, wow, great. But anyways, 7 out of 10.
I like that. I think you would like it again on more listens.
I'll give it a second listen.
It is very fun. I think one of the songs,
Loaded Diaper.
It might be actually is JoJo's Jacket, is that the one with the kids piano?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Like the little like bass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm the King of Siam or whatever.
Yeah.
I was an actor. You might have seen me in Westworld or whatever.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Completely Well by B.B. King. I will preface with this. I am a jazz guy.
I knew you were more of a jazz guy.
I typically am not a blues guy. To me, this is controversial. Blues is just swagless jazz.
Okay, that's just dumb.
I think that blues is formulaic. And it's not bad. It's just, I've rarely found a blues song where I'm like, I get over the feeling of, I'd just rather be listening to jazz. Now.
Oh, no.
That said.
Don't spit in the face of B.B. King.
I know. Okay, B.B. King is a guitar icon, okay? Incredible. One of my favorite quotes is from B.B. King where someone asked him why he plays with such slinky strings. He said, why are you working so hard? Hilarious.
Yeah.
He sounds like Gonzo when he sings a little bit. He's got a Muppety voice.
Well, but a lot of those of blues singers had Muppety voices.
So does Louis Armstrong. I get it. Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun, and so I'm not gonna beef on it. Let's see what I was making notes, and then I was making notes, and then I went back through it quick. You're Losing Me has just an incredible bass line.
Yes,
such a fun bass line.
Great.
I really like What Happened. Has some really nice piano.
Sure.
Really good horns. I wrote it's very bluesy to me, but not cheesy. Confessing the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I start to bring up the blues complaints.
Okay,
this is what blues is to me. Okay, you get a drum that goes like, no, that's jazz. It's literally just like, but slower.
Yeah,
with a high piano key, just going, and then the guitar is like, like that's blues.
And then some guy just comes in and starts saying stuff.
So, that's Confessing the Blues, where it's fun, but it's formulaic. I didn't hate it. I thought the first few tracks so excited and no good to me. We're like, okay, I know what I'm getting into. It's blues. Guitar is good. Your Losing Me was like, ooh.
Yeah.
The bass is good. What happened? I liked. Confessing the Blues, I went, oh, okay, here we
That's
go.
That's fair.
Key to the Kingdom, I liked.
My Kingdom, but yeah.
Is it?
Key to My Kingdom, yep.
Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Key to My Kingdom, I thought was fun. I like the, I mean, again, it's classic blues.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, when I was listening to Key to My Kingdom, I was like, all right, I get it. The high point has passed.
No.
Crying won't help you now.
Yes.
Holy flip, buddy.
I'm so glad that you liked it.
What a hilarious premise of just a man ripping on a track. Sounds awesome. And then he's just going, you're so mean to me. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so funny. To then go into an instrumental track that's literally just called You're Mean. Is
Yo Mean.
So good, dude.
Isn't it great?
Those two songs together. First off, I will say this. I'm really glad that they are two songs. And it, to me, it feels like Crying Won't Help You Now. It honestly does just feel like they just kept jamming.
Yeah.
And then riffed for 10 minutes and went, no, that's good.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
That's jazz.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then The Thrill Is Gone. Is a perfect close.
Yep.
It's
Thank you.
Gorgeous instrumentation.
Yes.
The strings are fantastic.
I'm so glad.
I think to me that if I can get over my beef with the blues, which is what I wrote here, this is easily a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
If not
good.
A 10 out of 10.
Perfect.
If I can find that appreciation for the blues that I know is somewhere
Exists.
In there. There were so many moments on this album where even though some of the guitar licks are they are like that, like
very
formulaic and whatever.
Yeah.
There were a few moments where I went, oh, like he did something a little fun there.
Yeah.
And B.B. King is an incredible guitarist, and it shows even in the blues stuff, which I'm not saying is easy. It's just you see it coming because there are like blues patterns that people kind of not fall back into, but they pull from.
Yeah.
So when you recognize those, to me initially, I was like, okay, yeah, I know what we're doing. But I think that if I gave it my first initial, when I first listened the first time, I went 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I went back in and looked for some of those moments, and that's when I wrote probably a 9 out of 10, and I think I could get it to be a 10 out of 10 if I could. I gave it some more listens.
Yeah.
Seeing, I also saw that it came out in 1969. For that to come out in 1969, it feels very ahead of its time.
Yeah.
There are some songs that almost sound like disco-y.
Yeah.
There's some like, and so to me, I'm
I
like,
think the man was a genius.
I think that some of the songs that I didn't immediately love is because I have heard stuff like it,
right?
But I have to contextualize it in when it came out because it wouldn't have been samey. It would have been new.
Yes.
And I think I need to give
and
it
that's
its
why,
credit for
that's
that.
That's why I like B.B. King, because the guy, he was a pioneer of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think.
Also,
it's easy to look back and go, oh, look at all this. It got replicated so often. But he, B.B. King was right there at, you know, Chicago Blues, ready to go.
Album art's incredible also.
It's great. Isn't it fun?
It's
and a little
awesome
smiling over there
art.
With all the stuff. I've got this with this album on vinyl.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little, it's fun to look at his face.
Yeah. There's
I'm
the little version of him with the sun and the and the water. So, and
let me respond by saying I'm so glad the way that you described this album, because one of the reasons I gave it to you, this entire podcast, I've been talking about how when I listen to albums, generally I'm an A side over a B side guy.
Yeah.
We have arrived at one of the very few exceptions.
Nice.
This is a B side album, because B side has Key to My Kingdom, Cry Won't Help You Now, You're Mean, and The Thrill Is Gone, which are the top three songs in the track in my they're in the whole album in my opinion.
Yeah.
So for you to kind of just go, it was kind of okay. And then to get to the end, because I was scared. Because as you were saying it, you're like, I'm thinking, he B.B. King's losing him. But you stayed around long enough to get to the real goal that is the end of the album.
I wrote starts off all right, and then I got to Crying Won't Help You Now, Into Your Mean is awesome, hilarious premise, great tracks. The Thrill Is Gone, perfect close.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
B-side's perfect.
I think that the other two albums start strong and maybe taper off a little bit. This one was the opposite.
Yeah.
I went, okay, I mean, I got to give it its credit because it's B.B. King and whatever.
Yeah.
And there were moments like on the earlier tracks where I was like, I like this sound. Like it's very in line with other things I like. But similarly, like, yeah, I have to fight that feeling of like, I'd rather be listening to jazz, or I'd rather be listening to like Otis Redding, or I'd rather be listening to like Curtis Mayfield or whatever.
Right.
Songs that have a little bit more of that rhythm aspect in that R&B field rather than the blues.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you got to like, I Crying Won't Help You Now. I listened to when I got out of the office this morning. I put it on the car and I sat in the parking lot. Yeah. I didn't drive yet because I was like, oh, this rips.
Yeah. It's
and then,
so good.
And
eh?
Then
yeah.
Into Your Mean. Awesome. Like literally just like you're being so mean to me. Like yeah, it's so
I love it.
Fun.
Yeah. Why are you being so mean?
Yeah.
You've
and
been
then
mean.
The
yeah.
Thrill Is Gone. Which honestly, it fits with that storyline.
Yeah.
But it just is gorgeous. Like it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. I think the reason that the end is so much better too is because the beginning tracks are like 4-5 minutes and change.
Yeah.
So it's not any change. He kind of changes as he goes throughout it. So it's not long enough to like get into it. And then Key to My Kingdom's almost like a transition point,
right?
Where it's fun and it's exciting for a short amount of time, and then you head into Crying Won't Help You, which is like 7 minutes, and then You're Mean, which is
like 10. Yeah.
So it's like you just get immersed in it for like 17 minutes, and then The Thrill Is Gone is back to like 5 minutes, but it ends it. And B-side's way better, but I'm glad that you appreciated B-side.
So overall, I give Coming Home a 6.
It's fine.
Sad Bahamas a 7, and B.B. King, honestly, I feel I had so much fun with it, I would give it a 9. I loved it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm very happy with that. Yeah, Stephen Malcolmus got 7 out of 10. Bright Eyes, though, 9 out of 10. Loved it. I'm going to listen to Bright Eyes again. And City and Color, 8 out of 10. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough to look at City and Color more.
So it was a success. It was a successful...
This was a successful album gauntlet.
Yeah, it was not... There was no... I mean, it was less funny because we're not arguing.
Yeah, but it's okay. Sometimes I like just hanging out with you and not arguing.
Well, we're sharing. We're sharing the beauty of music together. And... Yeah, I mean, if you haven't listened to these tracks or these albums, rather, like you will not have a bad time with any of these albums.
No, none of them are boring. No, I didn't have an issue with any of them.
Yeah, the beginning of
just skip the first track of Bright Eyes.
Yeah, on any album, pretty much
on any of his albums,
on pretty much any Casadaga,
just especially.
Yeah,
just save yourself having to go through that 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's not...
It's stupid.
It's really rough. I totally... I had it in my head to go... I went, you know what? I'm going to give him... Because I had... Okay, so for a really long time, I had... it was that versus the other Conor Oberst project, Better Believe the Community Center, which is his band with Phoebe Bridgers. Mm-hmm. And I went, I think Ben might like this. And I was like... I couldn't decide, but I was like, Casadega is just... It's so much more folky and consistent sounding. But I went, if I tell him to do, if I give him Bright Eyes, I got to remind him about the first track, and I just didn't write it.
And
I
then forgot to, he I blanked. Suffer.
Yeah.
Oh, what time
it's
are
an
we
art
at
piece,
here?
Like an hour and 20. It's wow. long. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, go listen to these albums. You'll have a good time. And then, you know, come back and watch this podcast again after you listen to them.
Yeah.
And then it'll probably
and
mean
then
more
to you.
And
you can agree with us. And then
or
you
disagree.
Can,
and if you disagree, feel free to leave a comment below.
Leave a comment on the YouTube. DM us on Instagram. Share the podcast with your friends who are interested in music. Share the podcast with your friends who aren't interested in music. Share the podcast with your friends who are interested in podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Really Cool Podcast. And we'll see you later.
They'll see us later.
They'll see us later when they listen again, them and their friends.
Yeah.
All together.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye. I've been barely cool for a while, cool with the wink of a smile, but I'm cooler than you are with or without us. I've barely started, this is barely hard for me. Well, I'll stop myself if nobody else does. Madam Web voice. I think you're going to watch it twice.
Oh, stop.
I think you're going to watch it twice.
Have you seen Madam Web?
No.
Yeah, neither have I. I don't know. I heard it's really
poopy. We should watch it for the podcast.
Yeah.
I've heard it's poopy.
I've heard it's extra poopy.
I've heard
like
it's real bad.
Really poopy. Involves more useless Spider-Man flips.
Yeah.